Okay.
Erev Tov. Tonight, I would like to share with you a yesod that I heard from my Rebbe, Agoyin Davar Lichtenstein Zatzal, the son-in-law of Moran Harav Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik. A fascinating insight in the Pasha. So we'll share with you a number of, I think, remarkable insights in the Parsha. On page number 3 of the Maran Bekomos, which is the end of Parshas Vayechi, the Torah records a rather frightening kind of dialogue between Yosef and his brothers. After Yosef had reconciled himself with his brothers, identified himself, invited Yaakov down to Mitzrayim, essentially sustaining his entire mishpacha. And then we have the death of Yaakov Avinu and a rather aristocratic kind of levaya funeral that takes place, including the Egyptian entire country that's mourning and lamenting the death of Yaakov Avinu, primarily because, as the Tag Menelson points out, that he brought to the table sustained prosperity for an extended period of time, reducing the period of famine. That's how Chazal had in the Medrash as well. And now we witness, as I said, a very frightening dialogue between Yosef and his brothers. Take a look at the bottom of page 3. Vayiru achei Yosef ki meis avihem. They saw that their father died. Vayomru lu yistamenu Yosef. They were frightened that perhaps, God forbid, now, as a result of the death of Yaakov Avinu, somehow Yosef will dredge up and will ferret out all the events that occurred in the past, will somehow now emerge. The language of the Pasuk is very strong. There are several words that describe kayadua, hatred, and the word that the Torah used earlier, after the chalomos of Yosef, vayisnu also. But here the language is lu yistameinu Yosef. The way Chazal comment on the pasuk, vayistom Esav es Yaakov ala brocha shebercho aviv. So that's a deeper, much more profound kind of hatred. So they were frightened that now suddenly, after the death of Yaakov, Yosef is going to, once again, God forbid, hate them. Vahashev yashulano is kol ha'ra'a shegamalnu also. Essentially, he'll now avenge the sale. He'll take nekama. And therefore they fabricate a tzav from their father that, of course, was absolutely without any foundation. By Yitzavu al Yosef Leimor, Avicha Tzivon of Neim Osel Leimor, that your father issued a kind of last will and testament prior to his death. Kosom Ruli Yosef. Ona, Sona, Pesha, Achecha, Vechatasom, Kirog, Yimolucha. Essentially, that you should pardon us for whatever chet, whatever transgression we committed. There's a repetition here in the text, which we'll discuss a bit later. And Yosef heard this, and of course he was thunderstruck. Yosef began to cry, was born to tears. This, of course, is very similar to the comment on the part of Yehuda. To defend Binyamin, he also offered to be an eved. Now they're offering, they'll be his slaves, his servants, and Yosef right away comments, you are totally operating under a miscomprehension, you're misconstruing what happened. Everything was predetermined from on high, everything was directed by Hashem Yisbarach, my coming down to Egypt, and even though I was in a state of literally, complete, total severance from my family for several decades, ubechalzot, it was all directed from on high, I accept the hashkach of Hashem Yisbarach. V'ato al tiro, don't be frightened. Anochi achalkel eschem yestapchem, I'll continue to sustain you. V'inachem osam, v'idaber al libon. He obviously attempted to create an atmosphere of appeasement, of reconciliation. The Torah doesn't tell us exactly what the upshot of this was. So Hagoyin Abar Lichtenstein Zatzal cited a medrash I heard this medrash from him several decades ago. Why does the pasuk say "Vayiru achei Yosef kimei saviyim vayomru lu yistameinu Yosef"? What exactly compelled them to think that davka after the death of Yaakov, Yosef somehow is going to, Rachman al-Litzlan, estrange himself from them? And the medrash calls it machlokes between Rabbi Yitzchok and Rabbi Levi. The medrash says the following. I'm reading the medrash. Vayiru achei Yosef kimei saviyim vayomru lu yistameinu Yosef. Rab Levi and Rab Yitzchak. There are two opinions. Rab Levi Omar Shalom Zimnon Lisuda. Heretofore, till this point in time, they literally ate at the king's table, at the viceroy's table. They were invited on an ongoing basis. They were Krovim the Malchus. Of course, they're Krovim Mishpacha as well. And now suddenly, that ended. A second opinion, Rab Yitzchak Omar, Holach Vihitzitz Bosa Bor. According to the first opinion of Rab Levi, as long as Yaakov was alive, they were eating together on an ongoing fashion, in a convivial way, in a festive kind of way. The moment Yosef and Yaakov, the moment Yaakov passed on, that ended. And they were frightened that maybe suddenly now this is a sign of hitnakrut, similar to what the Torah records at the very beginning of their encounter, Vayisnakir alayim. By Dabri Yitam Koshos, when he espied them originally. So perhaps this also would be, once again, everything would come back to the fore to haunt them. The second opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak in the Medrash, on the way to the Kvura, Yosef decided that I had to come full circle and went to see the boar that he had been thrown into. And right away they thought that clearly that's going to remind him of all that which happened, the way the Torah described that, and now he's going to connect with them in a completely different kind of fashion. And the Medrash actually, to these two opinions, Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Levi, quotes the response of Rav Tanchuma. Amar Rav Tanchuma, Hu lo niskaven l'shem shamayim. Yosef's intention was completely honorable, totally l'shem shamayim, from every perspective, the Medrash says. And essentially, v'heim lo kein. However, they were not l'shem shamayim, ela lu yistameinu Yosef. Notice the brothers did not understand, they misunderstood the kavana of Yosef, and he had no intention whatsoever, either of rebuking his brothers, or chastising them, or even by any remez, indicating to them that there's going to be a change in their relationship. However, if that's the case, so why did Yosef, at that point, decide no longer to invite them? No longer to be on convivial terms with them. How does one explain that? So Rav Tanchuma explains that as well in the Medrash. Omar, Yosef said, and this of course is accentuating the incredible righteousness and unbelievable pristine character of Yosef HaTzadik. He said, L'sha'avar Abba Moshivani L'mala Mi'Yehuda Shu Melech. Till now, when my brothers came, and of course, his father, Yaakov Avino, Yosef was ahead of the table because Yosef has a din melech. Ulemala miRuven shuBechor. He was placed as well above Ruven, who's the Bechor in the family. V'yachshav, Eino bedin she'eshev lemala me'en. According to Rab Levi, according to Rab Tanchuma, Yosef was ambivalent now after the death of his father. As long as Yaakov was alive, he understood that there was a need for his brothers to honor Yosef, certainly in the presence of Paro Melech Mitzrayim. He's the Shalit. He's sustaining the entire family. They owe him a tremendous debt of gratitude of Hakara Satov. But now that Yaakov died, Yosef sensed that I have a predicament. I'm really now caught betwixt and between. On the one hand, as Mishnah LeMelech, there's no question that I should sit B'Rosh HaShulchan. I should sit at the head of the table. I'm the viceroy. On the other hand, it's not comfortable for me to create a situation where, in effect, even brothers who are older than I am, that, in effect, I should, so to speak, lord over them. And therefore, Yosef, because he was in this difficult situation, decided that I'm no longer going to eat together with my family, because I don't want to go ahead and, chas v'shalom, embarrass anyone, humiliate anyone, create a situation of a lack of sensitivity to their sensibilities. But the Medrash goes on to describe that this thinking on the part of Yosef, which seemingly is logical and very well-founded and well-grounded, there's only one problem. he did not perceive how the brothers are going to react and respond to this kind of behavior. From their perspective, they had every reason to believe that suddenly this severance of their connection, of being invited on an ongoing basis to the royal palace, indicates some sort of breakage and some sort of problematica in the relationship. And that's the reason for their pachad, where the Torah records over here, Lu Yistameinu Yosef. And even according to the second opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, that Yosef went to look in the bar, in the context of the Kvura, according to Rav Tanchum and the Medrash, the bar, of course, was a very traumatic kind of reminder. And undoubtedly, Yosef did not forget the hours that he spent in that dungeon, in that bar, exposed to Nechashim Makrabim, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, Ba'borek in Bomayim, since the Torah tells us, Ha'borek, of course, in Bomayim, Ela, the Gemara says that Mayim ein bo, Abu Nechashim Makrabim Yeshbo, it was full of scorpions and snakes. Again, we have to assume, there's a famous comment of the Torah Tzmima, mentioned a number of times, the Torah Tzmima comments on the connection that the Gemara has in Shabbos between two Ma'amorim. One Ma'amor that speaks about Ner Chanukah Lamala Michofama, and the other, this Ma'amor, quoted by the same person, that there were Nechashim Akrabim in the Bor, and somehow the assumption of the Torah Tzmima is that all the Ma'amorim that are mentioned together had to be connected conceptually. There has to be some understanding of the connection. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal often pointed out that's not the case. Often Chazal, when a Maimer is quoted by someone who's not so well known, it's not Abaye Barova, it's not Ravina Ravashi, it's an individual who's not so well known, so they collected all the Mamarim together. That seems to be the Balabatasha and probably the correct shot as far as this matter. But the Torah Tmima, in his genius, comes up with the following connection between the two Mamarim. First, Ner Chanukah Bav Chofam is puzzle. And so too, would they have thrown him into a bar had they known they were in the Nechashim Akrabim? They were throwing him to his death. And he quotes a Mishnah, Maseches Tamid, that the Pasuk says, Vayashlichu also habora, ein hashlocha chusa michofama. And that's how he connects the two statements, the two Ma'amorim, and the Torah Tzmima is ingenious in doing this on an ongoing kind of basis. So Yosef now, according to the second opinion, clearly there's the trauma, and he has to obviously complete the circle from a psychological standpoint. He goes back to the Bor. He's now someone who obviously is a viceroy, and he wants to somehow heal that trauma that he underwent many years ago. So despite the fact that Yosef seemingly does all the correct things, and there was nothing inherently wrong in terms of what he did, but he did not realize that these actions on his part were going to have an impact on his brothers. From their perspective, they were absolutely taken aback, absolutely frightened, and right away, whether it's the position of the not invited to the Suda or the position of going back to the Bor, they thought it's all over. Once again, essentially, we're back to square one. So according to the Medrash, we understand as well why Yosef reacted. Vayef Yosef bedabru meila. The Pasuk describes how Yosef literally cried and wept. Yosef thought that everything had been repaired, that the breach essentially had been taken care of, had been forgotten, and he thought now they were on a better path. There was an ideal relationship, but he realized at this point in time that it was all an illusion. Not only did his brothers not forget what happened, even Yaakov did not forget, and Yaakov warns the brothers, namely in terms of what Yosef might do to them after Yaakov dies, and suddenly all the tension, all the family incredible divisiveness once again surfaces, and the chashtanut and the suspicion and the like somehow now emerged, now came forward. So according to these two opinions in the Medrash, we see clearly that what was the source of the misunderstanding? The source was a total lack of analysis, proper analysis of what happened in terms of both situations, namely not longer being invited to the meal, and also in terms of the board that Yosef went back to see what it was like. Had Yosef believed that he could unquestionably repair the breach, repair the fractured relationship with his family, with his brothers, he would have called them, he would have presented the problem to them, it would have been spoken out, There would have been dialogue, and the entire problem would have been resolved. On the other hand, had the brothers relied more on Yosef, given the fact that look what he did for the last number of years, sustained them and completely, more or less, took over their entire lives in a very positive way, they would have understood what Yosef had done in a positive way, but unfortunately, they did not see that. So Abban Lichtenstein Zatzal, when he spoke about this, he referred to the Gemara in Shabbos, famous Gemara, where the Gemara speaks about Adaf Kuf Chav Zayin. The Gemara actually cites first the well-known statement of Chazal, not the Mishnah in Peah, but a very similar kind of statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Shisha Dvarim Adam Ochel Perosein Benam Azeh. There are six things that a person eats the food in this world, Vakarin Chayimasol Olam Abba, Yelohain, and there's a litany of items, Achnasa Sorachim, inviting guests, Biku Cholim, visiting the sick, Iyun Tfila. That's a discussion of Rashi and Taisis a number of times in Shas. Vashkamas by Samidrash, waking up early to learn, Hamagadal Pun of the Talmud Torah, raising children, be mechanic them in terms of educating them properly. And the last item, Vahadonis Chaveiro Lekaschus, that one should always judge a person meritoriously, the Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Avas Chesed, as a lengthy analysis of the parameters of this concept, this din, Vahadonis Chaveiro Lekaschus. It's mentioned in the Gemara in Shavuos, it's mentioned in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and there seem to be a number of stiras, and the Chafetz Chaim is miyashim all the stiras. In general, the rule of thumb is that the average person has a cheskas kashrus. Chazaka al chaver sheinu meitzi mitachas yad adavar sheinu meskukan. We assume that people have a cheskas kashrus and are not choshut, the average person, and therefore we should be done on the kashrus unless someone is a well-known rachman litzlan evil person. Then, of course, there's a different story. The Gemara asked the kasha on this statement that we just quoted from Rabbi Yochanan from the Mishnah in Peah. The Gemara says, "Eini va'anan snan." We learn in the Mishnah, "Elu dvarim shadam osel sam v'ochel peyosem v'alam azeh." There's a list of items that a person is going to eat from the fruit in this world, and the keren kaimas will be olam haba. And the list we say every morning: kibud avayim, nidos chasodim, haba ashalom v'mechaveiro, talmud Torah kineged kulam. Hani in only these items that I mentioned in the Mishnah in Peah. Midi achrin alo. How could the Gemara in Shabbos somehow expand the number of items? So the Gemara answers the stira by saying, "Hani bahani shaychi," which means the six items that I mentioned in the first brisa in Masechet Shabbos are included in the three items that I mentioned in the Mishnah and Peah. Rashi goes on to explain how each one is included in the other. So Rashi comments on the item that's mentioned over there, namely being done the kaf schus, says Rashi, "Don is chavero the kaf schus bichlal havoa shalom." That's included in what the Mishnah in Peah says, Havo Hashalom Ben Adam L'Chavero. When you're done a person, the Kaf Schus, that's going to create amity, fellowship, fraternity. It will create an atmosphere which will be halcyon in nature. And Rashi goes on to say, the Mitoch Shu Machriel L'Schus, once you judge a person meritoriously, the Omer, and you say, Lo Chata Libazos, he did not transgress. He didn't commit any kind of Avla. On the Soya, maybe he acted in a situation which was unavoidable. For example, sometimes people say things to you that are not appropriate. And the Gemara says in Barbasa, Ein Adam Nitfasa Masha Omer B'Shas Saro. There are many reasons why one should be done the Kaf Schus. Or Rashi says, L'tova Niskaven, he really meant well. Perhaps he didn't know how to express it in a proper kind of way. So therefore, says Rashi, Yei Shalom B'Neim. If you have this kind of perspective, this kind of viewpoint, the way you view what people do, even though it may not necessarily be appropriate, but you try to be done the Kaf Schus, and the person is a wonderful person, no reason not to be done on the Kaf Schus, that will bring about a Matzav of Shalom. So this apparently is what happened in the context of Yosef HaTzadik. They were not done him the Kaf Schus. They didn't realize his Kavanah was totally the Shem Shamayim. What he underwent, the privation, and experientially, and what happened to him emotionally, and being severed from his entire family for a period of 22 years. One could not even imagine such a situation, which is nothing short of being horrific, horrendous. And yet we don't find Yosef avenging whatsoever the sale, and they should have been done in the Kaf Schus, given what he did the moment he identified himself and reconciled with them. So here there was a lack of being done the kaschus. And Rabban Lichtenstein Zatzal often spoke about this, how we should view others and how we should perceive even those that perhaps sometimes we may have some issues with them, is problematic in terms of our relationship, we should always try to be done the kafschus. And all of society is based on trust, and certainly the Jewish community. We are completely based on the fact that we trust each other and we're somich on each other. There's a sense of achdus, kol yisra aveim zel azeh. And if I have a society that's built on this premise that I can't be somich on you, I can't rely on you, and each one always is chayshed, the other individual, that is a, I think he called it, chevra mekukelet. That's a society that's clearly not functioning in a proper kind of way. And it's interesting that even when the Torah uses the language of betzedek tishpon abisecha, and the context, of course, is a context of dayonim, judging. They should judge betzedek. But the Gemara says in Shavuos, that refers to this concept of being done as chavero the kaschus. Even though the context is a context of mishpat, a context which is juridic in nature, judicial in nature, but Chazal see that pasuk as being the source, namely that the Torah is turning to us and teaching us that everyone should judge everyone else bitzedek, namely bidon people the kafschus. I had a Rebbe, he was a bit of a jokester, and he always used to tell us, it says in Chazal, chashdeyu v'kavdeyu. There's no such Chazal. I actually, after a period of time, I went looking for it. And then someone else told me, no, he's not correct, but there is such a chazal. It says, kabdeyu v'chashdeyu. First you honor a person, and then you choshen him. I looked for that chazal, couldn't find that either. So neither statement is found in chazal. Unquestionably, the Gemara has circumstances, you're allowed to be choshen someone under certain circumstances. The Gemara Nida, there's an inyan of Lashon Hara under certain circumstances to be cheshesh, and other cases as well that Chazal have. But in general, the approach we should take is one that we should try as best we can to be done people of the kaschus. And now I want to share a further very remarkable analysis of Hagoyin Abaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, also in the context of this parsha. And here you can turn actually to page number one, and we'll start and examine Rabban Lichtenstein. This is probably very well known. I imagine many of you hopefully heard this. I heard it from him many, many years ago, many decades ago. And he analyzed the number of times we see in Sefer Bereishis, especially in the context of these parshios, Vayigash and Vayichi, we have many, many times what seems to be a very fascinating phenomena, namely tears, bechi. And the Torah here describes it seven times. One of the fascinating things about when we study Sefer Bereishis contains a lot of the narrative portion of the Torah. And we have to examine it very carefully, as the Ramban writes, Masi Ovo Simon Lebonim, but a lot of it is not explicit. A lot of it is not really spelled out. The Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, the Kedushas Levi, points out that we don't know anything about Avraham Avinu's life, his early life. The Rambam and the Ravid have a machlokes whether Avraham Avinu was 40 years old or 3 years old when he came to recognize Hashem. I think I mentioned a number of times from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal that there's no machlokes. Essentially, either we assume that this was a process, it took many, many years, or one could take the position that, according to one approach, Avraham Avinu was a young child, intuitive, clearly a child prodigy in many respects. Or perhaps he was already a thinking, reflective adult when he came to this idea of Hakaras HaBoreh. But we don't know much about the human aspect of the lives of the Avos and Imos. The Torah really has not revealed to us information. Rav Soloveitchik was medayik from a Ramban. The Torah is only interested in the lives of the Avos and Imos as they connect with Klal Yisrael and the development of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Torah actually is going to reveal to us. But we don't know how Avraham Avinu met his wife Sarah, or things of that sort. That's not revealed to us by the Torah. That's not of interest to the ultimate development of Klal Yisrael, of Am HaSorah. But one of the primary examples where we see a human element is Dafka in these parshios. And we'll begin again with this parsha that we spoke about a few moments ago, what seems to be a fabrication on the part of the brothers that, in effect, a request from Yaakov Avinu that Yosef forgive their sin, and they believe that this sheker is somehow justified, perhaps mutar l'shanos b'nei hasholom, a principle which is unfortunately and tragically used incorrectly most of the time. But people simply today have decided that they latched on to this principle, mutar l'shanos b'nei hasholom, and it becomes under all circumstances mutar l'shanos. But the response of Yosef when he heard that Yosef cried. So what was Yosef thinking? What was he feeling? What was his answer to the brothers? So Agoyin Laban Lichtenstein Zatzal reviewed a number of episodes, and these are the episodes we're going to examine. They're on the page in front of you. On page number one, we'll go in order, and you'll see exactly the evolution that the Torah describes here in terms of the Bechi that we see. Let's start with the first encounter between Yosef and his brothers in Egypt. On the top of page one, the underlined section, Sukkim Zayin Ches and Tes. Initially, when Yosef encounters his brothers, the Torah describes a very cold, kind of cool, calculated type of encounter. Vayar Yosef Esecho Vayakireim, he recognized them. Vayis Naker Alehem. He obviously made himself completely and totally alien. Vaydaber Itam Kashot, he speaks to them very harshly and accuses them of being Meraglim. They didn't recognize him. And of course, he remembers the Chalomas Asher Chalam Lahem. And he accuses them of essentially coming as spies. And there's absolutely no humanity expressed whatsoever, a very cold and cool kind of distance that existed over here. Now, in the course of incarcerating them for 3 days, and then Yosef makes a statement, that's Elohim on the array, and he indicates that one of them is going to be incarcerated, and they should go home with the produce that he's going to give them and bring back Binyamin. And immediately, their reaction in Pasuk Chavalev, Vayomru Ish Elohim, Abel Hashemim Anachnu Elohimu. Somehow they sensed intuitively that they're the ones responsible for that which happened. And that perhaps they even sensed that something here was clearly happening that was being driven from on high. They were not in control. And they quickly, somehow, all of them, Ish Elohim, even though Chazal speak about this in Medrash, one to the other, but one could simply, Lefi HaPshat, it refers to all of them. Right away, they felt a sense of guilt. And what was the guilt? Not for the sale. The pasuk is very meduyak. But the guilt is the way they treated or maltreated Yosef. Asher ra'inu tzaras nafsho b'hizchanano eleinu v'lo shamanu. He was crying out from the bor. He obviously was in a state of terrible despair, terrible angst. And they did not respond. They were not sympathetic at all to a brother. Avsalvetchik Zatzal always was fond of quoting a Rambam, Hilchos Matzah Saniyim, Im ha'ach lo yirachim al ha'ach, mi yirachim alav. If one brother doesn't have mercy on another brother, who's going to have mercy on him? And that's exactly what they exhibited, a total lack of compassion, of sympathy. And then, they're not realizing that Yosef, of course, understood fully what they were talking about. Ve'im lo yodu ki shomea Yosef ki ha'meilitz bein olsam. The Meturgeman was there, Vayisov me'aleim vayevk. Here the Torah describes that what happened, this is the first description of crying. He turns away and he cries. And Rashi says, why did he cry? Because they were expressing guilt over the sale, over how they treated him. So this cry is obviously based upon a break between Yosef and the brothers and the distance between them. However, when one examines the text, one sees that the intensity of the cry is not too great. He has to just turn away. He cries. And right away, Yosef immediately returns to the scene to give orders. Yosef is playing the role of an autocrat, of a domineering viceroy of Egypt, because he's worried about his royal pride. He can't let them see him cry. So the sob that we have here, perhaps that one could describe it as a kind of sob, a mild sob, no more than that. And then right away, he quickly returns to his former self. The next time, on the bottom of page number one, Yosef, as the Torah describes, the moment he sees Binyamin, when Binyamin comes down to Egypt, of course, he's overcome by compassion for his brother. And that seems to be a much more intense kind of bechi, a more intense weeping, because the Torah describes that when he sees him, Hazeh achichem hakaton asher amartem eloi, vayomar elokim yachnecha b'ni, and obviously here we have a much stronger kind of inclination for Bechi. He couldn't even control it. He wasn't able to contain himself. And he had to quickly go to a side room in order to somehow express his feeling. Vayef Shama. Not as the Torah described right before this. Vayisom Yalem Vayef. But now we have here a much more intense kind of Bechi when he sees Binyamin. So what has changed? Because Yosef, obviously, and Rashi talks about this in Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Lamed, Yosef is overcome by the detachment that took place between himself and his brother Binyamin. And there's the separation for all this period of time, which was almost interminable in some respects, is one that obviously created a major gap, a divide between them, a chasm, and he has to leave the room. And the Torah says, "Vayichatz pana vayetze." The bechi was such that he literally had to wash his face and once again hold back further tears. And the Torah says he left the room so no one would hear. And the cry was such that it could not be heard from the adjacent room. And Yosef, the ruler, puts on his royal face and once again asserts his position of power. On page number 2, the Torah continues. And of course, now we have Yosef not just simply crying, but the Torah describes how the moment of reconciliation between Yosef and his brothers, Yosef was simply not able to contain himself. The emotion was so strong. So now the emotional facade is gone. And after Yehuda's impassioned peroration, his plea to Yosef in the beginning of Ayigash, Yosef cannot hold back. He calls on, as the Torah says, on all his servants to leave. And before he reveals his identity to his brothers, he starts to cry. Vayitein es kolo bifchi. Not simply vayevk, but rather vayitein et kolo bifchi. It was out of control. It was tears that were absolutely simply flowing. And the Torah describes Vayishmu Mitzrayim, Vayishma Beis Paro. The tears were so overwhelming that it was heard by Paro's house, heard by Egypt. I would imagine it was not heard throughout all of Egypt, but clearly the implication of this terminology is rather clear. So Yosef is wailing with unbelievable intensity. What's the message of that weeping? So Hagoyin Avraham Lichtenstein Zatzal said that this is not a cry of estrangement, but rather it's a cry of building bridges. It's a cry of an attempt to reconnect, to reconcile. Yosef realizes the gap that developed between himself and his brothers was so great, and now he's making a fervent effort to close this gap. Not simply a desire to move beyond the past, but issuing a request to his brother. And to essentially, he wants to enable his brothers to make themselves approachable to him, to somehow close the gap that was created in the course of so many years. He yearns for a reconnection with them. His breakdown in tears is a powerful way of expressing that yearning to reunite. Once again, to rebuild the achdus, rebuild the unity in the family. Let's continue further. When the Torah then describes Yosef's identifying himself to his brothers, of course, are astounded. They were stymied. They had no ability to respond. And then Yosef, again, the language that is fascinating. This, to me, always is in contrast to the beginning of Vayigash. Vayigash Eil of Yehuda. And Chazal speak of Hagosha, Lidoron, Litfilo, Lemelchama, and three places in Tanakh. And now the language that the Torah uses, Vayom Yosef Elechad, Gishuna Eilai Vayigashu. But it's clear that this Hagosha is obviously a Hagosha of Kurva. Hagosha, let us come together. Let us reconcile. Let us once again repair all the breaches that were fractured in the course of this lengthy, interminable kind of period of time that I was not able to connect with you. And he goes on to be mechazik them and indicate it was all from on high. It's all bashkocha. The revolution was the one who navigated here all the elements. And I accept that completely. And notice how many times he mentions it wasn't your doing. He's nowhere blaming them, The onus is not on them. It's all Hashem Yisbarach, the puppeteer who is directing traffic. We are simply puppets who are acting out our role. And the role that came viceroy to Egypt was for one purpose. And please tell, in effect, Father, tell Yaakov Avinu, Somani Elokim li'odon l'chol Mitzrayim, Ridoi Lai al Tavod. This, of course, was the introduction that Yaakov Avinu should come to Mitzrayim and Yossi will sustain them. And the Torah then goes on to say, the next item D, as you can see in the number there, so Yosef, at this point, the Pasuk says, Vayipol al Sabrei Binyamin Achi Vayevk uBinyamin Bachal al Sabarov. Obviously, a union of two brothers who have been separated. Hine Matova Manoyim Sheves Achim Gam Yochad. Now we have a realization of that. Two brothers coming together, and there must have been incredibly emotional period. And that's what the Torah describes again, the Bechi. And the last item on this page, page number two, item number E, this is when now, in effect, Yosef sends, of course, chariots that were directed by Paro, and he's about to meet his father. Now the verb here, vayevk, vayipol, vayereilov, Rashi has a comment, the Medrash has a comment. We don't exactly know from the simple pshat in the text because the verb reference is ambiguous. And there's a machlokes among the Rishonim whether Yosef is indeed the one who was crying or was actually Yaakov Avinu crying. Torah doesn't tell us. Rashi indicates that Yosef was crying because Yaakov was saying the Shema. Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of this Rashi. Rav Soloveitchik once in Boston commented that when he left his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, I went to Berlin. I only heard the Rav say this once, and only in Boston. They examined a certain sugya. And then when he met him again in America, the first thing that they apparently on their encounter was a resuscitation of that sugya. Reminded me, of course, of Chazal with the Egla Arufa. Namely, the Egla Arufa, that's when Yaakov Avinu and Yosef had left. Yosef, of course, was a protege of his father. He was the Talmud Muvak of his father. And the last sugya they discussed was Egla Arufa. And now when they met each other once again, Egla Arufa, why exactly was Yaakov saying Kriyat Shema? This is the subject of so much literature. I once heard from Magen Rav Gifter Zatzal, the Tells of Rosh Hashiva. I met him and asked him pshat in this Rashi that Yaakov was saying Kriyat Shema. So he told me that when a person has an emotional high, those emotions should be directed to Hashem Yisbarach. Because the question that many are mefalfel, if it was the Zman of Kriyat Shema, Yosef should also have been makpid on the Zman Kriyat Shema. But I'm not such a litvak in terms of pilpul and chumish. I have that side of me also, but that's not for now. But Zman Kriyat Shema, that was not the issue. The issue was, at a moment of emotions where they're running so high, Yaakov wanted to demonstrate those emotions should be dedicated to Shem Shamayim. So Rav Gifter Zatzal understood the Rashi here. But as I said, it's unclear who was the one who was crying. The Ramban writes that Yaakov Avinu is the one who cried at this meeting because the Ramban asks rhetorically, who will be more likely to cry? The elderly father who finds his son alive after so many years of despair of Ayisabel Abuno Yomim Rabim, or the youthful Yosef Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim? So the Ramban says it's clear. Yosef remains in his grandeur, and Yaakov Avinu is the one, the elderly father, who's crying on his shoulder. Going on to page three. So then the Torah actually, in item F, now the next time the Torah tells us of Yosef crying is at Yaakov's death. Vayichal Yaakov v'tzavo says, Bonav after the last will and testament of Tzavo, Vayesov raglav al amita, Vayigva, Vayosef al amod. Vayipol Yosef al pnei aviv, Vayevk olov, Vayishaklo. And the final time Yosef cries is when the brothers ask him in Yaakov's name to forgive them the psukim that we began with, namely on the bottom of the page, item G. And Rashi, based on Chazal, points out that Yaakov never issued such a command, and that seems implicit in the Torah, especially in Perek Nun, Pasuk Tezvav. That's where the Torah actually mentions this. It's entirely possible that Yosef also recognized this, because Yaakov had plenty of opportunity to pass along message to him directly without relaying them to the brothers. And this is a discussion also among many, many Mefarshim, that Yosef essentially created a kind of vacuum between himself and Yaakov Avinu, because he didn't want Yaakov Avinu to directly ask them, what happened? How did you get to Egypt? What was the event that precipitated the 22 years that we were separate from each other? So in effect, Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik from every standpoint. Bimlo muvan amila. And Yaakov and sons, they live with Yosef. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shvayas Veishonah for 17 years. Yosef cared for his father, for his brothers. Yosef rebuilt, Yosef reinstated a positive relationship with his family. He brought them to Goshen. And b'meitav ha'aretz, hoshevet avicha v'etachecha, from the best of the land. And clearly he exhibited a willingness to move on, a time for reconciliation, and that's with his perspective. But by making the statement that they made, the brothers apparently show that Yosef failed in his efforts. They interpreted his kindness almost along the lines of the approach of Esau, as described immediately after the incident of the bracha. After all, Esau planned to wait until after the death of Yitzhak to take revenge against Yaakov Avinu, as the Pasuk says in Perek Chavzayin. So Yosef realized that his brothers suspect that he somehow belongs in the same category as Esau. Just as the Torah says, Vayistom Esau v'Yaakov ala bracha sheberecha aviv, here, lu yistemenu Yosef, the same hatred. And God forbid he'll act against them now that Yaakov has passed away. So essentially, the entire reconciliation effort on the part of Yosef collapsed and was a failure. Beyond that, said Hagoyin Labar Lichtenstein Zatzal, Yosef realized the price that he paid for the position that he achieved. Undoubtedly, Yosef was inspired. Yosef was impelled by his dreams. The Ramban writes in Chumash, namely, Yosef had chalomos, and a chalom is a form of nevuah, and Yosef was waiting for those chalomos to come to fruition, to be realized. First the chalom of the Me'almim Alumim, and then the other chalom, the Shemesh Re'areach, Shemishtachvim Li, and each time he came closer and closer, Binyamin coming down, and finally Yaakov Avinu coming down to Mitzrayim. So even though unquestionably the dreams were Me'in Nevuah, but now he realizes that that position that he achieved, Vaisu and Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim, those achievements can no way compensate for the broken relationship that he now has with his brothers. He recognizes, in some respects, the futility of leadership. Real power lies in being connected to one's family, to one's mishpacha. Real accomplishment comes, as Rav Soloveitchik always used to quote the pasuk in Zechariah, "Lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach ki beruchi yomar Hashem tzvakos." Neither through power, nor through might, but rather through basic human sensitivity and basic human relationships. And let us return now to Yosef's crying at the death of Yaakov Avinu, Perek Nun over here, on page number 3, in the upper part of the page. Yosef at that moment reflects upon his life in the house of Yaakov Avinu. Undoubtedly, Yaakov showed him special treatment. The Sfarnu understands that there was a fundamental machlokes here between Yaakov Avinu and the brothers. The brothers, in effect, they saw Yehuda as being the Melech, and Yaakov felt that Yosef was Roy Lamalchus, that's how the Sfarno sees the son as Pasim, and in general, the entire back and forth between Yosef and his brothers reflects this struggle. As a matter of fact, the Ababonel writes in this week's Pasha, a very lengthy piece, the Ababonel points out that all the brachos essentially were connected to this idea, to this Yisod, that ultimately who becomes the Melech? Yehuda. Lo Yosef Shevim Yehuda M'chayki Ben Raglov. Ad Ki Yavo Shilo V'lo Yikas Amin. And Yosef is only the Mishnah of the Melech. There's Mashiach Ben Yosef and Mashiach Ben David. But the ultimate Malchus is vested in Yehuda. And Soloveitchik Zatzal commented on this based on the Rambam Mishmona Prokim. Yosef Atzadik. He did not avenge the sale. Yosef HaTzadik is able to somehow withstand the blandishments of Eishes Potiphera. Yosef HaTzadik, look how he behaves towards his brothers. We don't see even a machshava of any kind of chas v'sholom, nekama, netira, belay, b'shum panim v'ofen. And he does not become melech davka because Yehuda fell. Vayerid Yehuda Me'isechov, as Rashi quotes, Haridu Migduloso, and in order to be a melech, one has to have a sense of the average member of Klal Yisrael. All of us undergo constant zigzagging, all types of zigzags and alios and yuridos, ups and downs. We're human beings. Lo nita Torah l'malach yashores. So who is roy to be a melech? Dafka, someone who can relate, who can connect. Medrash actually writes, Barichus, the Midrashim are so swashbuckling in the beginning of Vayigash when it describes the encounter between Yehuda and Yosef. And Chazal actually see that in the Mizmor that we say, the Yom Sheni. There we speak about Kineam, Lochim Noyadu, Ovru Yachdov, Hey Maro, Kein Tomo, Nibhal Nechpozu, Reoda Chazosam Shom, Chil Kayoleda. There were great powers that were warring with each other. And the Medrash, you have to read those Midrashim, they're just absolutely beyond belief. I'm not saying you have to take them literally. Each one threatened, I'll blow your house down. Yehuda to Yosef and Yosef to Yehuda, and on and on. So let's return now to this Yisod that Yosef's crying at Yaakov's death. Yosef reflected upon his life in the house of Yaakov Avinu. It's true, he had special treatment, but what happened as a result of all that? There was an estrangement that was created at the end, and the Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim, and that's very much reflected in the close of the Sefer. And take a look now at the Psukim, once again, on the bottom of page number 3, fascinating Psukim that the Torah tells us in terms of what the brothers asked Yosef. Torah records, Vayirach Yosef kimei saviyem, Vayom ulu yistamenu Yosef, maybe Yosef will nurse hatred against us. Voshev Yoshev lanu is kol ha'ra asher gamalnu also. And as a result, they fabricated this story. But look what they said. Koso muli Yosef. Ono, sono, pesha, achecha. V'chatosim ki ro'og malucha. V'yatos sono, the pesha, abdei elokei avicha. Look at this language. What's the nature of Yosef's response to them? What does Yosef say? Vayomer aleihem Yosef al tiro ki hasachas Elokim anochi. Am I in place of God? This expression was also used by Yaakov Avino in response to Rachel. When Rachel said, Hovoli bonim v'yamai mesa anochi, give me children, otherwise I'm dead. Earlier in Bereshis Perek Lamed. So what did Yaakov Avino respond? Hasachas Elokim anochi. Am I in place of God? Am I the one who will withheld offspring from you? So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal suggested here that this language, Hatachas Elokim Anochi, was not a response to the brother's petition for forgiveness per se, which was legitimate and justified, is a response to the matter which they made. Because there's a makom to be medayik in these psukim that there are two issues. Notice the language is repetitive. The Torah actually uses a double language. First, they said, Sonma Pesha Achecha V'chatosom Kirog Malucha. And then seemingly in a repetitive kind of fashion, it's rearticulated. Son of the Pesha Avdei Elokei Avicha, almost suggesting there's an element here of Ben Adam Namokom, but also an element of Ben Adam Chavero. There are two issues over here. There are two domains of transgression between human beings and God and between human beings themselves. Each domain requires confession and forgiveness. But a human being who sins against another has to ask for mechila. So the way in which we address and refer to Hashem differs greatly from the way we address and refer to each other. They're two different approaches. And Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal indicated the following. When we approach our fellow human beings before Yom Kippur, we don't say, Ona Slachna. That's a phrase that's appropriate only in a relation between ourselves and Hashem Yisbarach. That's a language of vidui, of surrender. When I use it, what am I stating? I'm wrong. I acknowledge that Hashem is right. There are no mitigating circumstances. Guilty as charged. Yosef's brother spoke in a manner that is appropriate only for Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore Yosef answered, Hatachas Elokim Alochi. That's how Soloveitchik interpreted these psukim. That's an example of the humility of Yosef. Despite his great power in Egypt, which deified its rulers, he protested when his brothers addressed him in an idiom reserved only for the divine. I just want to be misayim by referring to an unbelievable comment of Rabbeinu B'chaye al HaTorah that's found here on page number 4. Look at page number 4, the Maamar Kamos. Rabbeinu B'chaye has an absolutely remarkable comment. He notices on the bottom of the page, the last paragraph is not underlined. I'll get to the underlined paragraph in a moment. The Korban Iloma, Sheish Mizer Remez Bakosov, there's a Remez. Namely, the issue is the brothers asked him for Mechila. They wanted Yosef to pardon them. The Torah doesn't tell us that he pardoned them. The Torah tells us he sustained them. Vayinachim Aysom, Vayidaber Alibam, he attempted to appease them, but we don't find any Mechila. And he quotes the Gemara in Yuma and Pehei, where the Gemara says, "You call me Shechata the Chaver of Yosef Tshuva, and Animcha the Elam at Sheratzes Chavero." Those are the Mishnayos found above on page 4. One Mishnah in Bava Kama at the end of Achivel, one Mishnah at the end of Yuma, the famous Mishnah that deals with Ritzui and Pius. And there's a Siman in Shulchan Aruch that Erev Yom Kippur, based on Gemara's at the end of Yuma, one has to be Mephaisis Chavero. So here there was a Chet that was done, and it required Ritzui. And even though the Pasuk says, Vayinachim Osam Vayidaber Alibam, that it appears that there was Ritzui, says the Rabbeinu B'chaye, Mikomukum Lareinu Shiaski Akosim Mechila B'yesef, V'lo Sheyodalem Sheyisa Pisha Mechatosam, Yim Kain, Mesu Be'insham B'loi Mechila Siyesef. They died without Mechila. Wow. V'yefsho L'iskaper Rabbeinam, Rak B'mechilosol. The only way to achieve Kapora is through Mechila. The Alkane, Hutzracha Inesh, Li Yosei Komus Vichoslum, Li Pocket Achazman, Binin Asaru Gimalchus, Chazal Kayadu Alachem, traced Asaru Gimalchus to the story of Yosef. Ima Ach lo Yerachim Alaach, Mi Yerachim Alav. And that, Yerushalmi says, and it's in Midrashim, that chet remains the Dori Doros. There are two sins, there are two chatoyim that plague us. Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shem said, in the wake of the Chayda Egel, Hashem salachti kid barecha, u'machlon l'shifte Yeshua m'chaldar v'ador. There we speak of Mechila. There was Mechila, seemingly. But we don't see in the text, and Rabbeinu Mechaya is medayik, that unfortunately and tragically, even though Yosef attempted to appease them, we don't find that he was meichel them. And that's how he understands the Sukkim that I mentioned a moment ago, Pesha Achecha Vechatosom, Pesha Avdei Elokei Avicha. There are two areas here. One area Ben Adam Lachavero, Pesha Achecha Vechatosom, one area Ben Adam Lamokom. So the Mishnah writes in Yuma, on the top of page 4 here, a famous Mishnah we're all familiar with, Avero Shebin Adam Lamokom, Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. That we know. Avero Shebin Adam Lachavero, Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, Chirat Yitzchavero. One is not going to achieve kapara expiation without asking his chaver for ritzuya. This is based on the drash of Rav Lozman Azaria, the way we read the pasuk. Mikol chatoseichem b'nei Hashem, then titaru. Benon lamokom, you will achieve tara, kapara. Benon mechavero, Yom Kippur is not mechaper at sheyeratz es chavero. There's an unbelievable chiddush of the Chabbis Yoyer. The Chabbis Yoyer has a massive chiddush. And he tells us that we have here two Mishnayos. One Mishnah in Bava Kama that speaks about Mechila. The context, of course, is the first Mishnah in Perek HaChovel. And this is the last Mishnah in Perek HaChovel. The first Mishnah says, HaChovel b'chaver chai b'chamisha dvarim. If someone, God forbid, physically assaults someone else, you're obligated to pay, as the Mishnah writes, Nezek, Tsar, Ripu, Yishevez, Beishes, but that's not sufficient. There's a need for Mechila. There's a need to ask for a pardon. And that's the Mishnah at the end of Achovel. And that Mishnah is quoted by the Rambam, the Chovel Mazik, here on this page as well, below the Mishnayos in Achovel. But then there's a second din, a din called Ritzoy. Rav Soloveitchik said an entire Tshuva Drasha. Why is there a need for two Mishnayos? Why is there a need for two Rambams? One in Hilchos Chovel Mazik, one in Hilchos Tshuva. One talks about purely a concept, a formal concept of Mechila. But the other is much more far-reaching, much more wide-ranging, the fact that on Erev Yom Kippur, we have to be able to come together, a kaparas hatzibur that only comes about when there's pius v'ritzoy. And as the Paiton writes, actually, after the Avodah, that Yom Kippur is a day of chamisha inuyim, but it's also a day of Yom Simas Alva v'reyus, Yom Azivas Kina v'tachrus. What's the mocker for that? That we abandon divisiveness. The mocker is dafka, this Mishnah Maseches Yuma, the idea of Ritzui. So the Rabbeinu B'chaya writes on the bottom of this page that when there's no Ritzui ben Adam Chavero, that affects the Kapara ben Adam Labakim as well. And that's the Chiddush of the Chabbis Yoyer. Chabbis Yoyer writes, if Rachmanu Litzlan, one has not succeeded in receiving a pardon and somehow appeasing and developing a ritzui and a relationship between himself and his fellow Jew, whom he unfortunately caused grief. If one does not appease the aggrieved party, then Yom Kippur does not atone even for transgressions between Beinon and Lamokov. This lack of appeasement between the perpetrator and the one wronged prevent the former from receiving kapara in both situations. He seems to be mechadish here, Rabbeinu B'chai, the same chiddush as the Chabad Soria much later on. The Goyin writes in Eben Shlomo, the tachlis of everything is shviras hamidos. The tachlis of kol haTorah kula is essentially that we have to break amidos rows. We have to try our best. We have to work very hard. It's a lifetime of work, whether it's through limud hamusa, limud haTorah, whatever the approach, whatever the methodology is taken, we have to chas v'shalom, never, God forbid, be pogea in someone else. We have to be exceptionally careful and cautious in our relationships with all human beings. Not just with Jews, of course, kal v'chomer, but even with non-Jews who also were created by Tzelem Elokim. And this is really the tragedy that we see over here in the story of Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers, that even though he was ready to literally go the full way in order to somehow reconcile, but there was a lack of communication, and that communication, unfortunately, had horrendous kind of consequences. So this is the Yesod HaDvarim that we all have to learn from this parasha. Number one, to be done the kafschus in every possible situation as best we can. And even if we cannot be done the kafschus, let's make an effort to interact and to dialogue and to come together and to try to resolve issues and not to be pogea than anyone else. And halavai, if we're zochet to that, there's no doubt that great action of self-contrition, of appeasement, of ritzui, will undoubtedly go a long way, and it will redound to our credit. It will give nachas to ourselves, to Klal Yisrael, and ultimately to Kutcha Berichu. And halavai, we should be zochet to create that kind of achdus, and that kind of achdus will undoubtedly, Hashem will see it, and will undoubtedly, as a result, also remove this unfortunate and tragic pandemic that we're all suffering from. And halavai, we should be zochet to that. The Kor v'yameinu, amen v'yamein.
Good Shabbos.
Yashikach.
Yashikach. Good Shabbos.